Thanks for listening to this podcast. I'm Bob Kinzel, co-host of Vermont Edition. Just wanted to let you know that this has been edited for brevity.
This is Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. Usually high school students who are planning to go to college make their decisions by the beginning of May and lock in their plans for fall. But this year, everything is different, including questions about where, how, and even sometimes why to go to college. So today we're going to check in with high school seniors, high school counselors, and colleges about how they're planning for the fall semester and welcoming, they hope, students to campus. Let's start by talking with high school students. Isabel Massey is a senior at Stowe High School. Hi, Isabel. Nice to talk with you.
You too. Thank you for inviting me today.
So it must be a strange way to end your high school career here doing online learning and trying to figure out what in the world the fall is going to look like or even the summer for you. I'm sorry you have to go through this, but how are you managing?
Well, it's definitely been kind of hard, but at least in a somewhat strange way, it's comforting to know that all of the other seniors are going through it. And I've noticed that there has been a lot of great support from the community, because I think they feel for us, considering that senior year is a really huge part of our life, and it stinks that it's cut short. But I'm just thankful that we can continue to learn. And yeah, it's been a fairly smooth transition despite the disappointments.
Can I ask you, a lot of adults have been posting their high school prom photos or their senior photos on Facebook, and then there's been some backlash from other adults saying high school seniors don't want to see the things that you did that they can't do. And by the way, they're not on Facebook anyway. Have you paid any attention to that trend, and does it bother you?
A little bit. And honestly, it doesn't bother me at all. I think it's fun that people are appreciating their senior year. And although I am a little bit disappointed, I don't mind it at all. It's definitely fun to see.
All right. So let's talk about your plans. When you started, you do want to go to college, right? And so when you started applying to colleges and thinking about where you wanted to go, how did you kind of determine what you were thinking about in terms of your college career?
Well, I've always known that I want to go right into college. I didn't really consider a gap year because I felt like I was ready. And I was deciding between Montana State University or UVM for a really long time. And so I decided to go to Montana State, assuming that I would go in the fall and assuming it would be just a normal kind of transition into college. And now it's looking a little bit different. So, yeah, but the decision was fairly easy, and I'm very excited about it. I hope that it can kind of stay the same.
So you've committed to Montana State now. You've said you want to go. You are enrolling.
Yes.
And did they give you an extension? A lot of schools are extending till June or making things more flexible for students.
Extended it to June 1st, which is really nice.
But you've already decided.
Yeah, I felt like I didn't need that, and I think that I could still defer if I wanted to. I don't have to. Since I'm committed, it's not like I have to go in the fall.
Yeah, because most schools will let a student do a gap year, defer for a year, and maintain their acceptance and enroll the following year. So is that something you're considering? Under what circumstances would you take a gap year or defer enrollment?
Well, if the learning was moved completely online and I wasn't actually able to attend the college, then I think I would seriously consider a gap year or a gap semester, because I would much rather go to school late than being having to do all the work from home and missing out on the real college experience.
And when does Montana State expect to tell you what the fall is going to look like?
I had an email from the president of the college a few weeks ago, and it sounded very optimistic. And I'm assuming that there isn't necessarily a set date of when they will let us know, more just keeping us updated for the next few weeks. And I would hope that it would be sooner than later, an official decision, but unfortunately, everything is very uncertain right now.
Yeah, I mean, so uncertain for so many schools. And even if they make plans now, it sounds like things could change depending on what happens with the virus and what happens with the economy. So it sounds like they and you have to both kind of be flexible.
Yeah, exactly. It's definitely difficult.
So when you are thinking about what you would do if Montana State has to hold all classes online, or if they, you know, only let certain people come to campus and you're not among them, you said you think you would take a gap year or a gap semester. There are a lot of Vermont schools that are trying to make things easier for in-state students to go to a Vermont school. So maybe you could live at home. Maybe some of those residency issues wouldn't be an issue for you if you were going to a school in-state. Is that not appealing to you?
I definitely would consider it, although I think I would prefer to just hold off. I'm not 100% sure, but I would really just like to have all my 4 years at Montana. But I think if it came to it and if it was going to be an all-year situation versus just like the first semester, I would definitely consider it because, as I said before this whole thing, I wasn't considering a gap year, so therefore it could be nice to just continue to learn.
Hmm. I don't need to dive into your family's financial situation, but I did want to ask, you know, is all of this making finances of going to college feel uncertain to you, whether that's because of financial aid issues and uncertainty or even because of, you know, questions around what am I paying for? What am I going to get when I get out of it? Can I afford to go to college for 4 years? How are you thinking about the money side of things?
Thankfully, I'm not in a position where that's a huge factor. However, it definitely is kind of daunting to know that the future is a little uncertain, and this virus is a wake-up call, I think, for a lot of people, showing us that life is definitely uncertain, and there are a lot of situations in our life where, like, we don't have a secure financial situation, and I definitely think that this whole thing is it's kind of making, like, I would say some of the scholarship money less or just the idea, like, that it's a lot of money going towards something that is uncertain, like I stated. However, I think, thankfully, that isn't a huge factor in my decision and my motivations. However, for some people, it's probably very scary.
Yeah. Isabel, do you have a plan for when you get out? Not that you have to, but any idea of what you want to do?
Well, I really want to study natural resources, so my hope is to do a lot of work outside preserving the outdoor land. However, I'm not exactly sure where that will take me or if I'll stick to that, but I think that'll end up probably working in some sort of science field outside because that's my passion.
Well, good luck, and I hope it all goes smoothly this fall. Thank you for talking with us.
Of course. Thank you very much.
That's Isabel Massey, a senior at Stowe High School. And listeners, any of you seniors in high school trying to figure out your plans for the fall, if college was in your plans, how are you rethinking that? And are you? Or are your plans pretty set in stone? You can give us a call, 1-800-639-2211. That's 1-800-639-2211, or post a note on the Vermont Edition page at vpr.org. Corina Gorman is a senior at Champlain Valley Union High School in Hinesburg and is with us now. Hi, Corina. Nice to talk with you.
Hi. How are you doing?
I'm well, and I'm glad to hear from you. And, you know, as with Isabel, I'm sorry that things are so weird for your senior year, but I'm curious to know what your plans are for the fall, at least as far as you know them.
Well, my current plans for the fall are attending University of Denver in Colorado. I would hope that I can go there in person, but the chancellor has emailed us and told us they're deciding whether it's going to be online or in person one semester or full year on July 15th. So really until then, my plans are not certain.
Would you make a different choice depending on whether schooling is going to be done online or in person?
Yes, I definitely was looking forward to the full college experience, and especially going to a school so far from my home. Like, that was the point, was to like get a good college experience and stuff. So if the school were to go online, I probably would strongly consider taking a gap year or enrolling possibly in some courses at a school in my state.
Here in Vermont, you mean?
Yeah.
And what would determine that for you, whether you enroll in some classes here in Vermont or whether you take a gap year and do no classes?
Well, it's really just if I want to, what I would do for my gap year, considering I would be taking one later than most people decide their gap year, but I'm sure a lot of people deciding later this year. But I would choose if I wanted to continue like keeping my brain fresh by taking some online courses or just working and dedicating like the full year to a program.
It seems like a hard decision to make in some ways because, you know, there's such high unemployment right now that high school seniors trying to find perhaps a job for gap year or even a program if traveling is limited or programs can't run, typical gap year programs can't run. You know, what are the options then for a gap year?
Honestly, that's probably my biggest concern right now because it's hard to look at international programs at a time like this because, like, if I'm not going to Colorado, why would it be any safer to go overseas where I can't, like, be close to home? So I really haven't looked that much into gap year programs, but if I do know that my school is going online, I'll start doing that.
Are you satisfied with the kind of communication you've gotten from the University of Denver?
Yes, I think they've been pretty good at keeping us updated and telling us when they plan on making decisions so we can make our decisions around that.
Karina, how difficult or disruptive has this pandemic been for you personally?
Personally, I'd say besides being a graduating senior who can't have a graduation like everyone else, but personally, the most upsetting part was probably missing out on my tennis season for our school, because our CVU varsity girls tennis team, this would be our fifth year, hopefully, if we were to win the championship, because we were on a four-year streak. So that was really upsetting. And since I'm not playing in college, I was really excited to play for, like, my last time.
That's a really big disappointment. I mean, if you are really dedicated to your sport and this was your senior year playing on the tennis team, that's a big disappointment.
Yeah, it definitely was a big disappointment.
Do you do any thinking or writing or reflecting on what you want to remember from this time? Because you and other high school students, and particularly those who are graduating, are having a pretty unique experience, and you may want to remember it when you're 40 or 50 or 80.
Yeah, well, I guess from my personal opinion, like when this all started, it didn't feel that like strange to me just because I feel like it was like such a gradual thing and like everyone's going through it. But now all the like adults in my life are like, this is history. Like history is like, this is crazy. You need to remember this. So I have started keeping a journal of what's going on and like trying to keep track of my life right now so I can look back at it.
What do you write
in
it?
Like, wow.
Yeah. Not to pry into your journal, Karina.
Yeah, it's fine. I usually just write like what I'm doing every day to keep busy. And then I also write, I guess, like updates of like the virus and everything that's going on in the world. So I can like look back and see how stuff was changing. And I don't know, I just write how I'm feeling about it.
Well, I think that's very cool. And I appreciate you telling us about your plans. And I hope it works out for you in the fall, no matter what happens. Thanks and good luck.
Yeah, of course. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, that's Karina Gorman, a senior at CVU in Hinesburg. And let's talk to one other senior here while we're sort of getting this experience of what it's like to be a high school senior in this very strange time period. Isabella Falco is a senior at Otter Valley Union High School in Brandon. Hi, Isabella.
Hi.
So we heard from two seniors who, at least in their plans, are planning to go out of state for college this fall. What about for you?
I am planning to attend Champlain College in Burlington, Vermont.
And what made you make that decision?
I just really like the community that Burlington is. I think it's a really cute city. I think I'll fit in well there.
So when you were thinking about where you wanted to go to school, was it mostly about what kind of place you wanted, what kind of school, but also what kind of community environment? Or was that in-state, out-of-state question a big one for you?
I think what helped me decide what school I wanted to go to was a school that had a really good business program. That's my major. I don't really think the in-state, out-of-state had a big say in it. I was looking at the University of New Haven in Connecticut.
And then you decided Champlain over that?
Yeah, I did.
And
I
live in
the city better.
You live in Pittsford, right?
I do.
So you're planning to live in Burlington and live on campus?
Yes.
And have you heard anything from Champlain College about whether that's going to be possible or what the fall might look like?
We have not really heard anything so far, but I know that UVM, they're in close quarters, so I'm assuming whatever UVM does, we'll probably end up doing.
Does that make a difference in how you think about what you're going to do in the fall, whether the classes are largely online or whether they are in person and you're living on campus?
I don't think so. I think that I'll... And...
Oh, I think we're losing you, Isabella. Here, try again. You were just saying whether it makes a difference for you, whether it's online or in person.
Yeah, I think that I'll just stick with Champlain and see how it goes, and I'll just look forward to staying on campus when the time comes.
We just heard from Karina about some of the disappointments in having a senior year of high school, though, that's not in person. What about for you? Anything that feels different or changing or that you're really missing from your senior spring?
Yeah, like she said, we are missing out on the last softball season that we had. We went to the championship last year and we lost. So we were really working hard and planning to redeem ourselves, and it got cut short. We made it to a few open gyms, and that was about it, which is really upsetting.
Yeah, this was your year. You were going to try to make it and win the championship, huh?
Yeah.
And anything else? I mean, sports are obviously a big one, and you can't recover from that. But we're also finding that, you know, the graduation plans are looking different. Obviously, no prom, that kind of stuff. Is that important to you?
Yeah, it really is important to me. And I know that it's important to a lot of the other students that I go to school with. And we've all just been talking constantly about how much we don't want an online graduation. And we will stick it out until even next year if we have to come back and have a graduation. But we're really adamant on having like a traditional ceremony.
Oh, so you're not on board with the idea of an online graduation being your culminating ceremony?
No, we're not.
And you are the class president, right?
Yeah.
So would you have had a role in a graduation ceremony that, you know, the big normal high school graduation?
Yeah. I've been talking with our principal about some of the different things that we can do to make the graduation better and make sure that it actually happens. So,
why is that so important to you, do you think, Isabella, to have an in-person, real graduation?
I think that our class has always been super close, and I think we deserve to kind of have that last send-off with each other as one. This virus has really united us, I think. So I think it's really important to have that last send-off.
Well, I hope you get it, and I wish you the best of luck at Champlain in the fall, whether you're living in Burlington or not. Thank you and good luck.
Thank you.
That's Isabella Falco, a senior and class president at Otter Valley Union High School in Brandon. Let's get a voice in here from one of our listeners. Sterling is calling in from Burlington. Hi, Sterling. Go right ahead. What are you thinking?
Hey, how you doing? I appreciate you taking the call. I'm a senior in another sense. I'm 60. Going to be 61 in July this year. If somebody doesn't have the opportunity to go to school this year, or they got to, you know, because of the virus. I mean, the virus is a strange thing. It's a bad thing. We don't know what the long-term outcome is. It's a hard thing to think about, and we have to, you know, definitely plant a garden. Definitely plant a garden and just, you know, think about the long-term ramifications because we don't know what they're going to be.
So for seniors in high school who are, you know, trying to figure out what am I going to do and I don't know whether my school's going to be open for on-campus instruction or not, do you have advice for them?
Yeah. If you're stuck in a house and you got to do classes on Zoom, I did my first class on Zoom last week and it was terrible. It was a very good and informative class. But it was difficult because it was a required 15 hours in 2 days. So I was in front of this, and I'm a technotard. That's how I use that term to describe myself. I hope nobody's offended, but I'm not technology savvy.
Taking classes, Sterling? Are you in college?
No, I did it for a license update, electrical license update. There's a shortage right now of farm workers in Vermont. There's a shortage right now of people going into the construction trades all over the country. And it's a good opportunity for kids to get some experience because there's a lot going on.
Yeah.
There's a lot going on. It's going to be hard because we have to social distance. I mean, I'm working by myself, totally by myself, all alone on a job. When somebody's there, they're, you know, in another room away from me wearing a mask. It's it's difficult. You know, you go to the lumber yard and you got to order stuff on the phone. You can't go in the lumber store no more. They got to bring it out in a bag and put it underneath the tent.
Yes, everything. Sterling, and I hear what you're saying, and all of those difficulties are true, but also what you're saying about this idea that there are jobs out there if students want to take a gap year and learn about a trade, that this may be a year where you could do it, working in construction or doing farm work for a year if you're taking a gap year, and then see how it feels to go to college in the fall after that. We just talked with three high school seniors. Let's get the broader perspective now from school counselors who are trying remotely to help students figure out their options. We just heard from Isabella Falco at Otter Valley Union High School in Brandon. The guidance counselor there is Meredith McCartney, and she's with us now. Hi, Meredith. Nice to talk with you.
Hi, Jane. It's nice to talk to you, too, and thank you so much for having me on.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you for being here. And also joining us is Preston Randall, Director of Guidance at Bellows Free Academy in St. Albans. Hi, Preston. Nice to talk with you.
Hi there. Nice to be here. I appreciate it.
Well, I'm interested to know what your jobs are like right now and what's different. I mean, it's always a challenge for those high school seniors who are thinking about going to college and who have some options or decisions to make about where that might be. And for some students, the decisions are largely financial. For others, they're about what kind of college they want to go to, what they want their major to be, or where the school is, whether they want to go as far away as possible or stay in state. And they're always decisions. But now, these decisions are in some ways so much more challenging because there's so many uncertainties for so many families and for schools. So, Meredith, what does it feel like right now to help seniors who are thinking about college decisions navigate all of those different options and challenges?
It feels a little bit like you're flying blind. You really don't have a whole lot of answers to provide anyone. And a lot of times the seniors and their families have literally and figuratively become more isolated. So it's feeling more like an internal decision that the families are really looking at together. You know, where are my finances? How do we feel about safety? What is it that's going to happen for us if this is remote learning versus in-person learning? Do we feel comfortable with going to that big city school that maybe seemed so exciting a couple months ago, and now it seems daunting and intimidating or not really a safe option? And I have found that while our office has been reaching out quite a bit, the decision process has become more of a family-centered piece.
And are you seeing families really having COVID-19 be a major factor in how they're making those decisions? I mean, is that the biggest factor right now?
I think what I'm seeing coming through for decisions has been much more local decisions for the colleges. A lot of the students are choosing Castleton, CCV, UVM. Usually that's a pretty high percentage, but it's definitely increased. And my sense is that that is directly related to COVID and to the uncertainties.
Preston, what about for the students that you're working with at Bellows Free Academy? Similar or different?
I think very similar. I think that, it's always the student's decision with the support of their family. And I really see the role of the school counselor as being primarily informational and sometimes just asking some questions to help students and families set their priorities. I've spoken with the other counselors in my department, and I think we're definitely seeing some students stick a little closer to home than maybe they would other years. But the other thing that as a department we've talked a lot about is that students, the school closures, move to remote learning, all of this sort of unfolded at the same time that they were getting their financial aid award letters and just beginning this decision about where to go. So it's a little hard for us to gauge how much have they shifted decisions, and how much has coronavirus just been part of the landscape of their college decision making since they received their acceptance letters?
And Preston, you're actually going through this not just in your professional life, but in your personal life as well. Your son has been trying to figure out about the college process.
Yes, I have a son who's a senior in high school, a different high school than the one I work at. So he has sent his deposit in, or we've sent his deposit in, and he's very excited. And he and I had some conversations about how much coronavirus and the chance of maybe schooling being online in the fall, you know, how much did he want to take that into consideration? And I think for him, and I supported this, he's looking at this as a 4-year decision. And so he's going to make the decision looking at the 4 years, not at next September necessarily.
Mm. And are you comfortable saying where he decided to go?
Yes, he's planning on going to Merrimack in Massachusetts, just north of Boston.
Yeah, so he's going to be headed out of state. And so you must be wondering, too, what is the plan for on-campus education and living, and what happens if there's a second surge, and what does that mean? So you're trying to sort of game this out a few steps ahead as well?
Yeah, I mean, I certainly, as a parent, I have a number of questions. I have an older daughter who is at UVM, so she's been doing her remote learning from our house for the last couple of months. And, you know, there's a part of me that wonders what our household will look like next fall. Love having the kids here, but, you know, it certainly adds to the dynamic for everyone. It's not what they're looking for, and there's some frustration for everyone around that. So we're thinking about that, and ultimately, you know, it's my son's decision, and I know that he makes good decisions. I feel that way about all of the students I work with as well, and really trust their decision making ability, and then just try and help people be able to pivot if they need to have thought far enough ahead that if circumstances changes or something happens that's unexpected, that they feel like they can make the adjustments.
Meredith, we were hearing from the high school seniors who we talked to a little while ago about, you know, some of the challenges of navigating senior year online and losing out on things like prom and graduation, but also on, you know, your sports achievements and that team kind of feeling and all of the things that you expect to have your senior year. And now there's so much uncertainty as well for those who are going on to college about what college is going to look like. Do you get any sense of disappointment from the students that you're working with, or frustration? In addition to, you know, I'm sure there's optimism and enthusiasm as well, but that sense of, hey, I lost out on so much here that I was expecting and thought I would have or sort of deserved for doing this for 4 years and more and getting to the end of high school.
Yes. Oh, certainly. It's heartbreaking. We've certainly had some articulate seniors eloquently write and write some heartfelt emails, which we encourage. I mean, we want them to express their emotions and what's going on. And it is heartbreaking because there isn't a lot. We don't really have any control over what's happening, but we can certainly do our best to support them with expressing themselves and talking over the phone or talking to us through, we use Google Hangouts and through their writing. And we also, we are seeing that. We are definitely hearing from kids all sorts of emotions about the loss, grieving, the process of losing out on this transition time that has a lot of special traditions to it, and not being able to have those. And as you heard from Bella Falco, you know, they are trying to support each other and trying to hold on to what they might be able to do at a later date, as well as coming up with some neat ways that they can support each other right now through social media and through some physical distancing, but in staying safe, but still supporting each other.
Bernard is calling in from Springfield. Hi, Bernard.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. How are you doing?
Good. I'm calling in concern about the triage. I don't know if you ever heard of the Upward Bound program.
Mm-hmm.
I had three kids that went there, and I have one that's supposed to be going this year, and they canceled it already. And my daughter, she's been going for the last 2 years, and she's looking so forward to it. She's really depressed about it. And I was listening to VPR yesterday, and the governor said they wasn't even going to open up the daycare until the 1st of June. So why so early? She was looking forward to it. She's going to be a senior next year, and she's not going to go her senior year because she's going to be planning for college.
Mm.
You know what I mean? And with them canceling it, she's disappointed.
So she was going to go to the summer program for most of the summer for Upward Bound.
Right. She was gone for the last 2 years.
Yeah. Oh, Bernard, that's such a disappointment. I'm sorry to hear that for your daughter's sake and for your families, and appreciate you sharing that. I mean, Preston, it's not just high school seniors who are trying to figure out, you know, what the plans are for the fall. But as Bernard points out, his daughter is going to be a senior. She's been participating in the Upward Bound program. Upward Bound also is something that helps you prepare for a potential college career later. So, I mean, it has these sort of knock-on effects that go further back into the education system as well, not just for high school seniors this year.
Absolutely. I've had a lot of conversations with high school juniors who would have been taking the SATs this spring and really planning and would have been visiting colleges over April break and planning, how do I get information about the colleges? How do I do this research? What's my application going to look like? And I think colleges have shown remarkable flexibility and foresight in sort of getting messages out there and adjusting their practices and getting resources online, which I think is great. And Upward Bound is a fantastic program, and it's absolutely heartbreaking that they can't operate at least in a traditional way this summer. I don't know if they'll be providing anything over the summer or not, but I know that has been very impactful for students at BFA.
So, Preston, have any of the concerns about the Vermont State College system and the proposal that was made to close three campuses that was then rescinded and the sort of bridge funding that is being worked out to try to keep the NVU Lyndon and Johnson in place, as well as Vermont Technical College campus in Randolph, has that affected your students at all? All of this uncertainty around the state college system.
I think for sure, yes. I've worked closely with a couple of students who had decided really in January, as they were doing the application process, that NVU was their top choice and were really excited about it. And then when they heard that maybe NVU was closing, they hadn't necessarily applied to other schools that, you know, they didn't have a plan B that they felt really great about. And so I've worked closely with them, and they're glad that they'll be able to be at Johnson in the fall at this point, is what it looks like. So, but that certainly added to the uncertainty that the class of 2020 really has defined their senior year.
Mm. Meredith, for your students, is that an issue?
Yes, I absolutely concur with everything that Preston was saying, and we've had similar experiences. And I think it was a small relief in the midst of all this anxiety to hear some confirmation that those schools would continue for next year.
Are you hearing, Meredith, from families that are finding their financial situation is changing, or they're worried about it changing, and that's changing the college picture for their children?
I'm not hearing specifics about that, more a collective unease. And also from the students themselves, I too have started to work with the juniors. And as they move forward and start trying to gather information about what they might be doing for college, and the questions are always right at the front about finances, but they're even more prominent right now. And I do think that this current generation can be extremely practical about money, and they're going to be even more so.
Yeah, some opportunities for the students here of the matriculating class to really forge a new path for this country as they figure out what they're going to do after high school. So I hope that there's opportunity as well as, you know, alongside the disappointments and the challenges. Meredith McCartney is a high school guidance counselor at Otter Valley Union High School in Brandon. And Preston Randall is director of guidance at Bellows Free Academy in St. Albans. Thank you both, and good luck to all the students you're working with.
Thank you so much, Jane.
Thank you.
CJ in Mansfield emailed in with a suggestion for adding a grade 13. CJ writes, 2020 and younger classes have lost a third of the year already. Wouldn't this be a good time to add a year to high school? Grade 13 would mean that Vermont students are a year older, smarter, and wiser when competing for admission to post-secondary education in the future. And let's go to Jennifer, who's calling in from Plattsburgh, New York. Hi, Jennifer. What are your thoughts?
Hi, good afternoon. I just wanted to share a little advice from my own experience 33 years ago starting into college, especially for the young woman who was considering waiting a year, not starting at Montana until it's actual live classes. And I guess it's hard to explain, but I think that first-year experience, I think, is incredibly important in most times. But she may just need to think a lot about what everybody's going through and whether 1 year lost in a way along that road is worth not experiencing, because her sophomore year, her junior year, her senior year, whenever these classes begin again, she'll go into those classes with others who have started their experience online. She'll be graduating in 4 years or 5 years with the same people who didn't get to experience their senior year in high school. And I just think she really should give it a lot of thought, whether that is really, you know, as worth it as she believes it is now.
Yeah, Jennifer, thanks for that perspective, you know, thinking back on your own life and how you would feel about it. And yes, that idea that at least all of the class entering in the fall, wherever they are, sort of in it together in that way that we're hearing some of the high school seniors say they really feel connected to their senior class this year. You know, financial questions are high on the list of concerns for many families, even in a normal year, but more so now with so much economic uncertainty. Scott Giles is the president and CEO of the Vermont Student Assistance Corporation, which is a nonprofit aimed at helping students save, plan, and pay for education. And he's with us now for a couple of minutes. Hi, Scott. Nice to talk with you.
Jane, nice to be with you again.
So are there any changes or updates to the federal loan and grant programs that students and families should know about right now?
Yeah, you know, absolutely. And I think when I listened to Meredith and Preston, I think they captured the kind of spirit of what we are seeing. This is a time that's normally, you know, full of excitement and anxiety provoking to some extent, but we throw in all of the economic uncertainty and the isolation that families are feeling. And with financial aid programs, one of the things that we did to try and simplify the process at the federal and state level several years ago was to move to what we called prior year income. So when people applied for their financial aid, both federal and state and institutional aid this year, they were using income from 2 years ago. But we know for many Vermont families, their economic circumstances have changed.
Mm-hmm.
And what we're trying to get word out to everybody is that they can use estimated income that reflects their current circumstances and take a look at whether they can receive, you know, increased financial aid awards based on the fact that families have either lost income or lost jobs.
Is that a lot more paperwork, though, and documentation?
No, you know, as a matter of fact, at VSAC, what we have done with the state grant program is turned around and said, call us and kind of describe your circumstances, you know, provide a little bit of documentation, and we'll worry about following up later on the verification side, because we want to make sure that these kinds of changed circumstances don't cause a family to make a decision not to pursue their education that they don't need to.
You know, a lot of people, though, now especially, I mean, previously as well, but now especially, are wondering and worrying about paying off those student loans and, you know, what kind of economy am I going to graduate into, and will I be able to get a job that will allow me to pay off my loans? And if not, what kind of forbearance or forgiveness is there going to be? How do you advise students about that, looking into the future of an uncertain economic picture?
Well, you know, one of the first things we say is that when you You always want to borrow as little as you possibly can to pay for your education. And for Vermont families, reach out to VSEC. We've actually made all of our financial aid material available online. And families can always call our counselors to kind of walk through their options. One of the important things, as I said, is borrow as little as you need to, but also choose the loan and your kind of lender wisely if you're going to borrow. Federal loans have a whole variety of protections put in place, as do VSEC loans, so that borrowers who, you know, graduate in uncertain times like we face now, who don't have a job or are struggling otherwise, have access to a pretty broad range of ways that they can defer their payments.
Any big concerns you have, given everything that's going on right now in terms of college and education and Vermont students?
Well, one of the things that we always worry about is that we know an education is one of the best investments that students and families can make. And we, this time of year, we always have students, particularly first-generational and low-income students, you know, making decisions at the last minute that they either can't afford to, or some other obstacle prevents them from pursuing their education. These times have made that even more challenging. And so we are reaching out to everyone we can to make sure that they know that they can get the support from us and from their schools to kind of navigate this path so they can pursue their educations. A number of your students were talking about the possibility of deferred admission. And one of the things that we've learned through the years is that when students defer admission, only about 43% of them successfully kind of start their educations in the year or two following that. So we're really trying to work with families to make sure that if they're thinking about deferring, they have a very solid plan that they can execute kind of once things begin to settle down.
That's Scott Giles, President and CEO of the Vermont Student Assistance Corporation, VSAC, which is aimed at helping students get to, go, and afford college. Scott, thank you very much for talking with us.
Jane, thank you for having me and for taking up this important topic.
Well, it is important and important to so many families. And when this is the decision that's right in front of you, boy, is it a challenging one to make. Last here in this hour, let's check in with just one Vermont college that's trying to figure out how to communicate with students, how to figure out the enrollment process, and what the fall is going to look like, not to mention all of the other things that are also happening for schools in Vermont with financial situations and the future. James Lambert is Associate Dean of Advancement at Castleton University and part of the team working on the school's fall 2020 plans. James, it's nice to talk with you.
Hi, thanks for having me on today.
Some schools delayed their deadline for enrollment for first-year students from May 1st to June 1st. Did Castleton do that?
Yeah, we have rolling admissions, so we are accepting students year-round as it was.
Okay, and are many taking advantage of the ability to wait right now, more so than usual?
I don't think we're seeing that. We're seeing a very healthy freshman class. All of our indicators are showing us that we're keeping pace with the average of our past 3 years, which have been very healthy classes for us, and our out-of-state deposited students continue to look really healthy as well. So things are looking great in that regard.
Do you think COVID-19 and the uncertainty around on-campus education has had any impact on students deciding to go to Castleton?
Well, our numbers, you know, it's really hard to tell what effect it will have. On one hand, some students may be deferring, and we're hearing that students may be deciding to stay closer to home. What we're seeing are numbers that are right in line with what we expected to see in a healthy year. So it's hard to tell what forces are doing what on this.
What are you hearing from students and families who have concerns or questions about what fall is going to look like?
Well, you know, students and families want to know whether we will have in-person classes in the fall, and, you know, whether they'll be on campus. And as of right now, we are planning and optimistic that everyone will be back in the fall and that we'll have football games and arts and campus activities and all of the things that make the residential experience great. We'll also be planning for some different scenarios because, you know, as I think many outlets have said, the virus really determines the timelines, not us.
So when you say you're optimistic, though, that you'll have everybody back on campus, is that that's one of the plans you're moving forward with, an idea that you could have everyone back on campus and, as you said, still have the football games and have the gatherings and all that?
Well, I hope so. But we will plan for a variety of scenarios. This has all changed so quickly and continues to that I think that nobody knows exactly what will happen, but we will plan for a full, semester in the fall, and we'll also plan for various contingencies.
How do you work out the possibility of at least some online classes with the knowledge that many Vermont students don't have great internet access and some of them may be living at home and going to school or, otherwise not able to really access all of the potential online offerings?
Sure. I think one advantage that we have now is that we got to do it this semester. We had to do it very quickly. We took a week to change all of our courses and services to an online environment. And we did so successfully. We even offer our counseling services, career services, academic support, admissions events. We've been able to move all of that into a remote environment. So having done that successfully now, I think that we'll have even greater opportunity to do it better should we need to in the fall.
If Castleton University can't have full enrollment, is that a concern for the school financially?
I'm sorry, I missed the beginning of that question.
Yeah, if not everybody can return to campus, if there are questions about, capacity and therefore not having full enrollment and not having students pay full tuition or other associated costs, is there a financial worry for Castleton?
Well, we really just don't know what effect it will have, positive or negative, on our enrollment. I feel like we can offer an attractive package to students, whether we are in a remote setting or in person on campus. And it's not necessarily a binary decision. There are a whole bunch of things in the middle that could happen with hybrid course options and some students returning and various other things in the middle. So I think that there are a lot of unanswered questions right now that will become much clearer as we move into the summer.
I think that's the theme of everybody's life right now. So many unanswered questions that we hope will become clearer soon. That's James Lambert, Associate Dean of Advancement at Castleton University. James, thanks and good luck.
Thank you so much for having me on.
And good luck to everyone right now trying to make these difficult decisions around college and everything else that we're all trying to struggle through.